Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. For over 15 years, the IBM Center for the Business of Government has sought to connect research to practice, sponsoring third-party research on a broad range of public management issues facing us today. Some say that innovation in government persists, despite continued skepticism about whether large hierarchical government agencies can initiate and embrace change. According to Professor Sanford Borens, there is extensive evidence that they can, they do, and they will. Innovators persist in the face of obstacles inherent in the process, despite the risk of failure, despite the time, energy, persuasion, and improvisation required to bring an innovation to fruition. He asserts that public servants continue to find new ways to create public value. What does the landscape of public sector innovation now look like? And what does it mean for innovators and those who study their efforts? How do award programs promote innovation? And how can a climate of innovation be created in public sector organizations? Today we'll explore these questions and so much more with Professor Sanford Borens, author of the IBM Center report, The Persistence of Innovation in Government. Professor Borens, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here.
So, Professor Borens, before we delve into specifics about your IBM Center report, The Persistence of Innovation in Government, I'd like to understand certain key terms you use. What is innovation? What constitutes public sector innovation? And how does public sector innovation differ from innovation pursuits in the private sector?
Innovation is defined as the first time an organization implements a particular practice, technology, or policy. Public sector innovation refers to when that is done by a public sector organization. Private sector innovation is undertaken to increase the firm's profits, and if it's successful, monetary benefits will flow to shareholders and the individuals responsible for the innovation. If the innovation is in some way unique, the firm will try to protect its profits by applying for a patent. On the other hand, public sector innovations are undertaken to improve service or reduce cost, so no profit is involved. Public sector organizations generally encourage others to emulate their innovations without attempting to receive any royalties.
So, Sandy, your report for the IBM Center, The Persistence of Innovation in Government, focuses on the Harvard Kennedy School's Innovation in American Government Awards. Would you tell us more about the history, purpose, and continuing evolution of this program? What policy areas are considered for review?
The awards began in the mid-80s with financial support from the Ford Foundation. The Ford Foundation felt that the government is the problem rhetoric of the Reagan administration was misleading, and they wanted to find instances where government was providing solutions. The awards program started with state and local government. The federal government became involved during the Clinton administration, which saw the awards program as supportive of its Reinventing Government initiative that was led by Vice President Gore. In 2001, the Ford Foundation increased its commitment to the program by replacing annual grants with a $50 million endowment. Roy Ash, a former director of the Office of Management and Budget in the Nixon and Ford administrations, added $15 million to the endowment. So the Innovations in American Government awards are given on an annual basis, and the program now has solid financial support. In response to your last question, the awards consider all policy areas, which I think is a great strength. The program is open to finding out what is new and exciting in every policy area.
Sandy, as a follow-up, there's been some shifts in the innovation agenda for each of these six policy areas in the Harvard Kennedy School Awards. Why has the innovation agenda changed in these policy areas, and what does it mean for advancing public sector innovation?
Okay. The awards define six policy areas, and I'll talk briefly about changes in each. transportation, infrastructure, and environment now has a very strong emphasis on programs to reduce the production of greenhouse gases. In contrast, community and economic development initiatives have now become very diverse, including support for the revitalization of urban parks and programs that deal with the consequences of the mortgage foreclosure crisis. Criminal justice and policing has broadened from an emphasis on community policing 2 decades ago to a variety of initiatives, including programs in the correctional system, programs aimed at keeping young people out of the correctional system, and programs to enhance public safety in a post-9/11 environment. Health and social service innovations have focused on providing health care for the uninsured, initiatives that have been folded into the Affordable Care Act, as well as youth fitness initiatives. Education and training initiatives have focused on a variety of approaches to improving teacher quality. Governance and management initiatives have focused on developing new software, applications, and social media. Now, to look at the six overall, the innovation agenda tends to change because of new programs and new priorities that become evident to people knowledgeable in any particular policy area. In addition, previous innovations, such as community policing, have become so widely adopted that they're no longer considered new, and as a consequence, there aren't any more applications in those areas.
Sandy, what are the award selection determinants, and could you tell us a little bit more about the 4 assessment criteria used in assessing submissions to the Harvard Kennedy School Awards?
Okay. The Innovations in American Government Awards receive approximately 500 initial applications, from which 125 semifinalists are selected. 6 finalists are then chosen, and there is one winner. The judges are academics or practitioners with expertise in the particular policy areas. So the judging is done for each of the 6 policy areas separately. There are 4 assessment criteria, and they're used at each stage in the process. They are novelty, significance, effectiveness, and replicability. Put as questions: is this innovation on the leading edge? Does it deal with a major problem experienced throughout the country? Has it provided measurable results? Has it been replicated elsewhere? So that's how the criteria are operationalized in the judging process.
There are some critics, Sandy, who view those pursuing public sector innovation as simply on an ego trip or a vanity project. How do you respond to such critics, and to what extent does criticism of innovation correlate with organizational viewpoints?
Okay. Implementing a public sector innovation is a lot of work. I can't imagine public servants would want to undertake that much work for ego gratification alone. In addition, the effectiveness criteria for the innovation awards, or more broadly, internal or external assessments, require that they show results. So that's a sort of a second response to the critics. In terms of organizational viewpoints, there's a tendency for people on the political right to be very critical of public sector innovation. There are those in the Tea Party, for example, who can't conceive of public servants doing anything for good reasons or producing any valuable results.
Sandy, what prompted your interest in researching public sector innovation through the analysis of the Harvard Kennedy School Innovation Awards? How did you conduct your research, and what makes this particular database valuable as a raw material for the study of innovation in American government?
Let me go back 2 decades. First of all, there was a public sector innovation awards program in Canada, and I was on the judging panel in the first year, 1990, and that piqued my interest. In addition, there was considerable controversy at the time within the academic community about whether the new public management movement, which was known as reinventing government in the U.S., was actually producing valuable results. Much of the controversy focused on high-level initiatives. I thought that it was also important to look at a wide variety of initiatives at all organizational levels. And I was certain the best place to find evidence would be in the applications to innovation awards. The Kennedy School Innovation Awards were the one I chose because they had so many applications and because the information they provided was so comprehensive. Now, this was the origin of my 1998 book, Innovating with Integrity. My new book, The Persistence of Innovation in Government, is in part a replication of my previous work using applications to the Innovation Awards in 2010. The Kennedy School Innovation Awards semi-finalist questionnaire has the virtue that it asks many questions about the innovation process, probably more questions than the judges need to know to evaluate the innovation in terms of the four criteria. But it does have all this additional information. My research involved coding the answers to the questions and then doing statistical analysis of the data sets that were created by the coding. I used sort of a number of tools. So the first level was simply counting, right? In other words, I defined categories and I looked at the frequency of various responses to particular questions. Then I used sort of higher order statistical analyses like correlations between answers to different questions. And in some instances, I used multiple regression analysis to look at sort of patterns of causality. So I was using sort of a wide variety of tools. One difference between the innovation research that came before me and my innovation research is that the initial work was case-oriented in that scholars studied a particular innovation or a handful of innovations. And what I did that was different, and you might say innovative, was I looked at a large number of public sector innovations and used that large number to build a data set and to do statistical analysis of that data set. And I should say that that approach has stimulated other researchers who've also done quantitative analysis of applications to other innovation awards. I can think of instances of researchers doing that in China, in Canada, in Brazil, and in Great Britain. So this is sort of a trend that has caught on. And sort of at the same time, there's been another group of researchers looking at public sector innovation by doing sort of questionnaires of samples or large numbers of managers in public sector organizations. They've sort of gone out and asked them, you know, what have been your organization's initiatives in the last 2 or 3 years? And they've come up with results using a different methodology. And there have been many instances where my results based on applications to innovation awards and their results based on large surveys have been similar. And as far as research goes, that's a good thing. You know, if you're getting results that, if you're getting comparable results from different methodologies, then that strengthens your confidence in what the results are. So I say that by way of trying to place my research in the context of other research about public sector innovation.
What significant changes have transpired in U.S. public sector innovation? We'll explore this question and so much more on our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.